Welcome to Colt Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I am Danny Ryan, joined in studio today by both Tony Scott. Tony.
How you doing, Danny?
Good. Nice to have you in studio. And Carl East.
Good to be here as always.
Yes, yes. Sound more enthusiastic, I guess.
Fine.
Anyways, let's get rolling this week, I guess. Let's start off with some apologies. I'll kind of issue an apology to a team that I've already issued an apology to.
But they deserve double apologies after the week they had.
Yeah, Wyzetta has been playing well. I think the Kardashian family has kind of... Lamar woke up from a coma.
Dude, they are looking hot.
Kim and Kanye have a second kid on the way, and Bruce has found himself. I mean, this is all, like, this team is good right now.
Game on.
They're as good as when we saw them play in the Turkey Trot tournament. I think they're playing that way.
Yeah, there's a couple teams that are back to where they were at the start of the season, one particularly from the northeast part of the state.
I wonder who we're talking about there.
We'll talk about them a lot today, so we don't want to...
Yeah, let's move on past the Duluthies conversation.
Who else has an apology?
I guess I have one for Bemidji. I've been sort of yo-yoing Bemidji all around my rankings in the past few weeks, you know, because they're not playing anyone, so they're sort of at the mercy of what other teams are doing, moving up, moving down. But this week, they beat up on Hill. They show that they can, you know, really hang with a class AA power, and they've beaten Hermantown. They're on a winning streak, so Bemidji's in the top 10 to stay now.
Well, there's no doubt. I owe them a major apology because I believe I bashed them pretty good last week because they couldn't travel into the Twin Cities
well,
to play a game. That road doesn't work. But they did beat a double-A team, albeit a team that won't be in the state tournament this year. But they did beat someone, so I apologize to you, Bemidji. I love my people up in Bemidji. However, my big apologies to you two who are going up to Duluth. I apologize in advance. I will not be going to Hockey Day, Minnesota.
I'm moving
so
this weekend.
Handle the cold.
I can't handle the cold. If it's going to be on TV, what's the point of going?
I am moving this weekend and still making the trip. I think that says, you know, dedication. Let's just put it like that.
We do have the number one Bantam team in the state of Minnesota is playing the number one Bantam team in the U.S. in Faribault, so I probably will be there on Saturday night.
Shattuck versus Minnetonka.
Correct.
Which should be a good matchup if you're in the youth hockey.
Could
sure.
be. It could be, but it could get ugly too. Shattuck is just so strong.
So let's go on to one of those teams that you guys were contrite about, and Hill Murray going up to Bemidji. The Bemidji beat up on them 6-2. I think an important stat that stares out at me: Hill's shots per period were 4-4-4.
Like Moses Malone. Yeah. Po, po, po. Sorry, that's an 80s reference.
You just dated, I think, anybody here.
That's kind of
and a basketball one, too.
Yeah, so let's move on to hockey talk. And it's only a 6-2 game because Hill scored with 4 seconds left in the game, which really does not count.
On a power play.
On a power play. That's a joke goal if I've ever seen one. So I look at this Hill team, they're not as good, but Bemidji is a team that we probably need to give a little bit more respect to. Anytime you shut out a Hill team that they can't even shoot more than 5 pucks on the net in a single period, you're doing well.
Mm-hmm. So. I think it's a momentum game. I mean, they got up early, and it was all downhill for there. I mean, they're a good squad. It's a tough team to beat at the BCA. I mean,
well, yeah, you're going up
that's
there.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't think see them as getting anyone any further than they got last year. If they get to the state tournament, they should be happy to hang that banner that they made it to state.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is Hill as good as, you know, are they a number two team in most sections or just in their section right now?
I think in their section.
Yeah. I think in most they would be a number two besides maybe the big one, besides 2, 7, and 6.
Okay. And we'll go into more section talk later in the show. Carl, anything of note on this game that you would want to mention?
I just sort of point out Bemidji's depth here, too. They're getting scoring from all over the place, and especially when you talk about Section 8 AA, you don't really get a lot of teams that can come down and roll 2-3 good lines, especially in recent years, but right now they may have that. So,
well, yeah, I think recent years we look at the Strand, John, and Helgeson line.
The Moorhead teams were...
They were very one-dimensional at that, very defensively sound, so...
And
yeah.
Good goaltending.
Good bits are...
The signature of Moorhead hockey, goaltending.
Yes, yes. Well, and second places.
Yes.
So.
Wow. Well, here I am trying to build them up. Give props to all the great goalies that they've had.
I'm chopping them down like the lumberjacks.
And you just knock them down.
Mashing those potatoes.
Man, his apology is coming soon.
Well, let's go farther. Let's move past Section 8, go back down to the Metro in a game that happened on Tuesday, which was a pretty touted game. Benilde versus Minnetonka at Benilde, 4-2 Red Knights. And
good game.
Good game. I was there at this one. I decided to skip the St. Thomas Creighton game to the chagrin of a couple of St. Thomas guys. It gave me a little bit of a hard time.
How noble of you.
Very noble. Very noble.
One was a hockey game. One was not.
Well, yeah, one was a football score. So I think what stood out to me in this game is that the skippers of Minnetonka, they do not have somebody right now that they can turn to that say, score. Just get us a goal. They don't have that one standout player.
Well, that's kind of the story of this year. I mean, there are only a couple, two or three teams that have that, you know.
Yes.
We talk it seems like every week we talk about Edina doesn't have Connor Hurley, doesn't have lots of teams don't have that. They're balanced attack. They're looking at 2, 3, 4 different scores per team that are 15 points above. This is another one of those teams that's just like that.
But I think they're more middle of the road on their average of scoring than even though, like, we talk about Benilde might not have an elite player past K. Gleekel.
Spit it out.
Sorry, just took a drink of water. Gleekel or Connor Mayer. And so
I think Benilde's deep. I like their third line. I like
but they're
what
deep,
they bring to the table.
They're a lot deeper than Minnetonka.
Everybody else. Yep. Yeah. I agree.
And so I just Tonka might struggle in section time because they're going to miss that big goal. From whoever they
give them credit in this game because they stuck around for a while. They could have easily gotten blown out in the first 5-10 minutes there. They'll just dominated for a while.
Yes.
But they hung in there. You know, they could be pesky, so you know they get a few breaks in sections maybe, but I don't think they're a top two team.
Yeah, they're a pesky team, but they're not a team that's going to surprise us in sections, I don't think. Stock kind of some Class A talk, an early game on Thursday because the girls were afterwards, an SPA and Breck.
We were both there.
I got in for free. Shout out to Shane Cernia, who I work with.
I got in for free, too, but he gave me the dirtiest look, like, you better pay. And I'm like, hey.
His dad's the rink manager, yeah. Mark Cernia. So
yeah.
Just a little shout out to that. But this was a good game. It Breck kind of came back in this game pretty hard. They come out winning on top 4-3 in overtime. Dominated shots too, 41-23.
Yeah, it wasn't hard to dominate in shots because A, they were behind a lot, and they were on the power play a lot. So that's a really bad combination. That's why shots are super misleading a lot of times.
Yes,
I thought the SPA played them tough. They played the exact game plan that they want to play, and they just didn't get any. I mean, I thought some of the calls were a little bit questionable in the third period. And granted, I am on the SPA payroll, so I'm just throwing that out there, right? But SPA played real well, and they had a couple of good chances. Once I thought Colin McCabe got taken off late in the game, which then put them shorthanded without their best defenseman. That really cost them at the end of the game.
What stood out to me is what Dev McCabe didn't do. We talk about Dev McCabe a lot, but I didn't see him in this one.
He's provided a lot more energy in the second half of the season. I think he got off to a little slow start, but I think he's definitely the key. If they're going to have any chance of beating Matamida in the sections, it will be because Dev McCabe.
Okay. Sure. Also, I want to mention Chase Ellingson scored the overtime game winner in this one. Where does he kind of rank up in the Class A field as far as talent, Carl?
Well, I figure he's got to be one of the top forwards in Class A. Certainly the leading forward, Mr. Hockey finalist, so top senior forward.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen these guys three times, and he just stood out really big was Dalton Weigel. I was like, wow, this kid
number
is just,
two, I want to say, 25. On their team.
25, but he carries the mail every time. He's got size. He's got speed. He really stood out. For some reason, on Thursday, I mean, I saw him play up at the Schwann Cup, and he was kind of average, but for some reason, on Thursday night, it just seemed like he was kind of taking his game to another level.
Yeah, I think he played strong. Justin Jalen, I thought, played good for the Spartans on the other end.
Very good player.
Okay, let's move on a little bit quicker. Edina and Eden Prairie. Talking about a team on the rise right now, getting back Ben Brinkman. Edina wins this game 4-3, even though they were outshot 39-23. One news and nugget of this is Clayton Phillips has now moved up to forward, too.
That doesn't surprise me. He won't be there long term. No. They need offensive spark. Clayton's a great corner guy. He's kind of a kid who doesn't lose a lot of puck battles. Mm-hmm. So they're probably looking for some more grease up front. I wasn't there. That doesn't surprise me at all. Plus, once you get Ben Brinkman back there, I mean, here's a number one. He's a ninth grader, and he's probably their number one defenseman.
Yes.
He's going to add some offensive punch and a little grit, too, back in the blue line.
And he's
you can afford to move Clayton up to forward. Clayton has done that his entire career.
Really?
He starts off the season at defense, and then the coach says, hey, we need some scoring. And I guaranteed Lakeville South is going to do the same thing with Jack Olson. Okay. Yeah, Jack's starting to add points like crazy the last two games. I'm like, I bet anything. I haven't been to see Lakeville South, but I bet anything they're moving him up because Jack is a great goal scorer. Yeah. He's got a quick release shot. Same thing with Clayton.
Yeah. Two things on Edina and Clayton Phillips moving to forward. One is, remember the very first time I saw Edina, back in the turkey trot, I said, you know, there's no way Casey Dornbach is going to go through the season without getting someone else put on his line carry the load.
Yep,
and now he has one in Phillips. And
yes.
So that gives them two strong lines. It makes them a much better team.
Yep.
And the other thing that I like about moving Clayton Phillips to forward, I think that fits better with Giles' general approach to defense. You know, he doesn't like his defensemen running around in the offensive zone.
No, and that's Clayton's style. Yeah, Clayton's likes to be the fourth forward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so does Ben, by the way. I mean, you'll see Brinkman will jump the play whenever he can. He will score goal after goal if given the chance, especially those loose pucks in the slot. He's not afraid to leave that blue line ever because he's got the speed to get back. He's got that serious confidence for a ninth grader.
Well, and his goal was a power play goal in this game, which shows that Giles is already confident enough to put him on the power play.
I think about a month ago I told you when he comes back, he will be a huge addition to this team. It won't be a wasted season if he comes back in late January.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I think it's already proven the point.
Yep.
And, I mean, to add to another note, Clayton Phillips did score in this game as well. So he's already providing offense as well. Okay, moving on to a Class A game. This was a very thrilling game. Tony and I were both up here at the MAC for Hibbing versus St. Cloud Apollo. St. Cloud Apollo gets a hat trick from Brandon Bissett.
How about that kid? I mean, he did it. He got all three.
All three.
Shorty, power play, and even strength. And they were just super hardworking goals. None of them were real pretty. He just worked hard and used his balance and skill to get the puck in. I interviewed him after the game. He was pretty jacked up. Their whole team was pretty jacked up. It's impossible not to like Apollo.
Yeah, they win 3-1. And I think what's kind of cool in this game, like you said, he scored an even strength power play shorthanded, and the other goal was a penalty shot. That's a weird kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. It was a weird deck of cards, that's for sure.
Now, Tony, you wrote a story on St. Cloud Apollo that you were telling me about them as the outsiders. Can you go into a little detail about
this? Yeah, so I'm obviously the co-founder of a website called Game On Minnesota. We've obviously famous for the Hockey Helper helmet that came out in October. We'll be producing the All Hockey Hair video again come March. We have a video coming out on Super Bowl Sunday that you guys will really, really enjoy next week. I said we made the video today. It's pretty funny. I can't tell you anything more than that. If you're from Edina, you will really like it. If you're not from Edina, you will really like it. If you can just use your imagination. All right. So, it's a song that will be played in several locker rooms, let's put it that way.
Excellent.
All right, so I wrote a story called The Outsiders about St. Cloud Apollo. They're the poor kids. They're the kids that are the ragtag. They don't have matching practice jerseys. They're just kind of the tougher kids in St. Cloud. I wrote a story called The Outsiders, and I'm glad you asked it because Essie Hinton, the woman who wrote the book, she wrote the book when she was 16 years old, and it got published when she just graduated from high school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I connected with her. I interviewed her, told her about the story, and just asked her some questions about it. And since then, she and I have become email pen pals, and I've sent her links to every one of the Hockey Hub box scores about her team. So her favorite high school hockey team in Minnesota is St. Cloud Apollo.
It's fantastic.
It's really kind of cool.
It's my brush with fame. She's 22 million copies of that book has been sold.
Yeah. It's just really cool. I think it's cool that she follows it too.
Yep. So they have a banner. I got a picture of it. I tweeted it out. They have a banner made of the photo that I took of the boys up in St. Cloud. They have their jeans and white T-shirts rolled up. They're flashing their pipes. It's a pretty good story.
Okay. So, Danny, this was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Tony and I were discussing gushing about Scott Paranovich on here, and I think this was your first time seeing him. So what do you think?
His cherry was broken. He loved it. Oh. He loved him. He's everything's advertised.
He's everything. Here's the thing about Paranovich is so in the first period, he played one every three shifts. In the third period, he never left the ice.
No, when they got down 3-1, he was out there the rest of the game.
He on multiple rushes, and this is multiple rushes, beat four people on the ice with the puck. He had one where he split two people like Mario Lemieux. He was amazingly dynamic, creative when he needed to be. The only comparison I can make to him, to people who have never seen him, is Aaron Ness. He acts like Ness out there. His mannerisms are like Aaron Ness, and his vision is like Ness, and he's just so much fun to watch.
Danny needed napkins between periods. He was gushing. He was like, I can't believe it. He's like Aaron Ness. I love him.
He's just slowly edging further and further
like,
away.
No, it was great. I mean, I know. I've seen Scotty play since he was a seventh grader, and he's a fantastic talent. And, you know, it's funny. His dad's a real tall guy. He's grown a ton in the last 2 years. He almost looks normal height. Because it's really, that was always the big question is, oh yeah, he's good, but he'll never grow. He won't be big enough. I saw him in the Elite League. He doesn't look undersized at all.
He's probably about 5'8". Now.
No, he looks tall.
5'9"?
I think he's taller than that. I don't know what he's listed. I think he's 5'10".
Well, it's hard to judge because Apollo is a tall team. Even Althaus is a tall player, the goaltender. So, but I think this kid has the possibility of being a very, very special player.
I agree.
Next level.
Couldn't disagree with that one.
No doubt.
Speaking of that, before we move off of this game, you know, Nick Althaus needs his props. I mean, this is, if there is no Brimsek, there's no second place. This kid, I'll come out with my Player of the Year award. He'll definitely be a finalist, without a doubt.
Without a doubt, he's playing that well. I think going into that game, it was like a 1-3-something for his goals against, and it was a 9-2-7. I think was save percentage.
How about DeBoom though? Just totally roasted him on that penalty. Snuck at 5-hole. It was great.
So yeah, I think and the other goaltender for Hibbing, what's his name? Ryan Olam.
Ryan Ulin. Sorry, he's a freshman.
Huge. He's like 6'3".
Yeah, he led our Bantam Elite League, and I'm not sure if it was goals against or save percentage, but
he's a good player.
Yeah, there's another goalie out of Blaine who was the other co-leader. They were both just fantastic. Joe Danninger.
Okay. I was very impressed by this game, by both teams. I thought this was a better game, actually, than the overtime Breck SPA game. I don't know about you, Tony.
Yeah, I thought that's accurate. I thought it was really intense, really clean. I mean, there was one, you know, Brandon's little brother, Noah, got knocked out.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of sparked St. Cloud a little bit.
Yeah, he got knocked out, and then Hibbing kept jawing at the kid when he was down. Which
I know. Well, who knows if that's what they were doing?
I think part of it was
after the hit, one or two of the, I think it was Lucia, went over and cross-checked. Was it Reland or Lucia? Went over and Skyler. Skyler Reland went over and cross-checked the guy who hit Noah.
Luckily, he didn't get a penalty, because chances are you're going to get a penalty for a
retaliation. He did get a penalty, but he got a coincidentals, but they got 2 minutes on top of it. Did get a penalty.
Sorry,
for it.
My bad.
But I think the jawing was with Skyler and not with Noah. I mean, the boys from Hibbing are a little rough around the edges, but they're not that rough.
Okay, let's get Carl involved with some conversation in some Elk River, Duluth East. Mm-hmm. Duluth East, they're a team on the rise, Carl. They're winning 5-2 over Elk River. This is a good win for them.
You know, Ain't no stopping us now.
It's a great win. And, you know, you have to put the asterisk on there that, you know, Elk River was missing Zurban and the younger Purbix.
This is a big asterisk, I guess.
So, you know, that's worth mentioning. But at the same time, East was in control of this game, mostly from start to finish. You know, really outshot Elk River in the first two periods, then piled on the goals in the third. So they looked really good.
All goals by different players, too. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'd point out about this game, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about East when they lost to Grand Rapids. So, you know, they're sitting back trapping for the first couple of periods. That wasn't what they were doing on Saturday. They were going for it all game long. And if you know what Mike Randolph's up to, you know, he's trying to get a team that he can have it both ways. He can have them attack and pull back and play D. He can just flip the switch, have them do both. And you know, the season's been a warm-up for that all along. They can do that in sections. Look out.
Well, this was the warm-up last year that they turned it on then. So
they've turned it on. Is it six in a row?
Yep.
Yeah.
I honestly, I'm looking at their schedule. I don't see them losing. At Minnetonka, right?
Yeah.
That's a tough game.
Yeah. We'll
that's the one game where I'm like, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Carl and I will be at that one, more than guaranteed.
Although I think I'm forced to pick Lakeville North this week.
You can't say that you're forced
to pick. Oh, sorry. I'm picking North this week. I really do like East.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. We'll talk about East later in the show, obviously.
We will? We'd never talk about East.
No,
on this
never.
Show.
No, never. No. Especially not the person wearing the hound shirt right now in the studio.
That's right.
game happened yesterday. Wyzetta Eden Prairie. Carl and I were both at this. Tony, you watched it online. Wyzetta wins 4-2, and I would say they were in somewhat control of this game from the get go, too. Yeah. And what stood out to, I think, Carl and I, Hank Sorensen played a great game. And him breaking a stick, grabbing somebody else's stick, was probably a lacrosse stick, like defenseman lacrosse stick to Hank, and then threw that stick off the ice.
Launched it into the bench.
Launched it, grabbed his...
Really?
Yep. Grabbed what he thought was his own stick. This is all happening at the end of the game. Grabbed what he
and
thinks...
And gets the empty netter.
Yeah. But it happened not to actually be his stick, because he launched that one back in there. And so he scored the empty netter, and two goals, actually, in this game. One on the power play to get this...
Really nice shot on that power play.
So just so you know, this is so funny. You know, we've basically made it a weekly thing to make fun of Hank Sorensen on this,
yes,
right? Right.
Yes.
So just so you know, either the broadcaster, because it wasn't Wags, either listens to this show or he has the same bent against Hank, because he's like, I broadcast this guy. He gets some kind of penalty. Riles, you know, like he was going after Sorensen. It's like he's open game. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Well, Hank is one of the best role players that there is right now in high school hockey.
Oh, I think in the last 5 years. I've never seen anything like it.
He knows what he's... Who can you compare him to in the NHL?
You can't compare him.
He gets under your skin, and when he wants to flip the switch and O'Leary tells him to score, he goes and scores if he wants him to shut down.
You know, at Heritage, you can basically sit on the bench because there's so open there.
Yeah.
So when they were playing East this year, I just decided to shoot my pictures next to the Wyzetta bench. And, I mean, they call him the Hammer. They don't refer to him anything like, Hammer, come here, Hammer. I mean, it's so bizarre that here's this kid. He is such a unique individual. Yeah. I love watching him. I mean, I don't have to coach him. You know, that's the one thing. But I love to watch him play. He's fun to watch.
And I think then let's talk a little bit about the struggles that's going on in Eden Prairie right now in their land. What is going on? Carl, you and I took note of this. Yeah. Their top line was never the same.
Nope.
So Graham and Middlestead are playing back together, but I think that leaves Sullivan very empty, and same with Lawrence, too. And Lee never knew who he wanted to match him with.
Cycling wings through new one each shift, and even – Middlestead and Graham together don't look great. I mean, they become a one line team, and that one line isn't as good as they were when they had two that were
very good. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. I get the sense that they don't like to play together. Yeah. That's just the sense that I would rather have them separate. But you know, I'm not Lee Smith. That's Lee's job to figure that out. Mm-hmm. I still think when push comes to shove, if it's Holy Family and Eden Prairie, it's flip of a coin time.
Yeah, I think we're getting to that point, because look at this game. Nicky Lieberman scored both the goals.
Well, how about that second one?
Sweet. He put it where Graham keeps the peanut butter.
That was a good sweet. One. That was sweet.
So, and news and notes about Wyzetta. Schilling is playing a lot better than what he was in the mid part of the season, too. I think this team, they know how to score now, and it's really coming from the defense on, because the defense is what makes this team churn right now.
They're doing a very good job of feeding their points. Sorensen, Anderson, Lindstrand, too, bobbing away.
Yep.
Rolling three decent lines.
Carlson, I think, is their other
Jack Carlson got his first goal, I believe. According to the announcer, it was Jack Carlson's first goal.
I could believe that. I mean, you look at Wyzetta, all the kids that were number, 20 and up, I think.
I know. It's kind of confusing. But Carlson, he hurt his back a couple years ago. He's kind of finally fully healthy after being out for an entire year 2 years ago.
And his D partner is Anderson, right, Carl?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Hanks is... who's Hanks? It's like eight.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so I think this is a very good defensive team. They're really hitting their stride right now, and I like that. Okay, let's mix it up a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit of section hockey because this is the penultimate week of the season, regular season, mind you. And so let's start with some sections that I think still have some toss-ups in there. Let's start with section one, Tony.
All right, so one double A is, let's just throw out a scenario here.
Okay.
Let's say South beats North.
On Thursday.
Okay? So North would have gone 0-4 against the top three seeds. Can we make...
1-3.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. They did, okay. So they go 1-3 against those top three, okay? Farmington would have gone 2-2 because they went, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They lost twice to South. So who's the number one seed in this section if that were to happen? Because somebody asked us that on Twitter this week.
Farmington.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's a smelly bag. I don't want to open it up, you know?
If South wins,
you're going to say, you say South, right? And what do you say?
I say Farmington.
You say Farmington, but not North. Okay, now let's flip the switch. I like what you're saying. Let's flip the switch to what if North beats South?
Then it's
North.
Definitely Farmington.
No, definitely North.
I love it, see?
Because at the end of the season.
I would say if North beats South, North goes number one seed. And here's the crappy part about it. Farmington
has to play South.
Will be two. South would be three.
Yeah.
Right?
And Farmington can't beat South to save their lives.
Right. So now we're right back to where we've been, All right. So that's why I wanted to bring it up because it's an interesting. It's literally like a Rubik's Cube. You know, every time you switch it over, like, oh, man, I don't have the piece right.
I think Farmington's, because they beat North. I think that's near the end of the season, but they stupidly lost.
I know. Right. Yeah. And it was like a touchdown too. So it was like, that's really,
I know.
When I saw that on top of my Twitter feed, I'm like, oh no, I had that one all figured out. Now it's all messed up again.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. So. Switch gears. Let's go to two now. Two is the same thing. Ugh. You got Holy Family, right? Who is just walked away with the always tough Wright County title, right?
Woo.
So now Holy Family is driver's seat because they didn't play in a tough conference. Meanwhile, Minnetonka and
Eden Prairie
are struggling in the hardest conference in the state without question. Do they lose their spot in the 1-2?
I was talking to Will.
We are not in reality. We are in our little bubble here.
Okay.
Because the reality is the Minnetonka and Eden Prairie coaches will team up on Noel Ron all day long, and they're gonna make sure that they aren't the number one seed. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. We're in a room right now. I think on paper, Holy Family win or lose against Grand Rapids is the number one seed.
I don't agree with this, and I was talking to Will Guerin about it.
I'm sure that Will Guerin thinks that they're a three seed.
I said that they're a two seed. I think they are. I think if Eden Prairie loses out, then Eden Prairie will be the two seed. But only if that happens because of strength of schedule purposes that you can beat up on the Ornos and the Litchfield Dassel Cocados of the world, okay? But
Mighty Dragons.
Yeah, the Mighty Dragons do not compare to the Lake Conference schedule, and I just don't see it.
Just a discussion. I knew it would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back to what we said a couple weeks ago. If Eden Prairie loses to Minnetonka again next week, then I put Holy Family number one. Otherwise, I think it's still EP's to lose.
Okay, so we'll put that game as the section seed title game.
As the South and North game is one that will determine more in this one.
That's great. That's our listeners are now smarter as a result of this discussion.
Okay, so
I hope.
Section 7.
Yep, 7AA. Same one. Here we go. All right, so East beats, now we have the threefer. We've had the ring around the rosy, right? Elk beats GR beats East, East beats Elk. So, all right, so we're right back to where we started, right? Assuming East beats Cloquet tomorrow night.
Which is a good assumption.
It's a really good assumption.
But a good assumption.
Yes.
Marshall has gone back to Mars and I mean come back from Mars, no pun intended. Right. And they're gone. Yeah. I mean Cloquet is I was looking at their schedule, it's like L. So they're gone. So we're back to those three.
Yeah.
So we and everybody's beat everybody. Strength of schedule is about the same. Each team is about the same strength of schedule.
Rapids is now independent, so you can
take that So now let's just say East runs the table and they beat North. They beat Minnetonka.
The seating meeting is before the Minnetonka game, too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's
number one?
Elk. Rapids.
East. Okay. All right, we're going to have fun. That was a great segue into the next section. We're going to pick the state tournament right now. Who's going to state? This is a super speed round. We're going to have some fun here.
Okay.
Okay, I'll lead it. We'll go right around the bend. Okay.
You want to do double A first?
No, we're going to go 1AA, 1A, and right down the line. Okay. All right, and I'll go first. 1AA, Lakeville North.
Lakeville North.
North.
1A, Northfield.
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 2AA, Holy Family.
Eden Prairie.
Eden Prairie.
2A, Breck.
Delano.
Breck.
Love it, Carl.
What?
3AA, St. Thomas.
Burnsville.
Burnsville.
3A, Laverne.
Laverne.
No, Litchfield.
No way.
Well, I won $5.
Hey, no discussions. All right, we'll do discussions after. 4AA, Stillwater.
Stillwater.
Hill.
Wow. 4A, Matamidi.
St. Paul Academy.
SPA.
I'm the one that's on the payroll here, you guys. Come on. All right, here we go. 5AA, Blaine.
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 5A, Princeton.
Princeton.
Tigers.
6AA, I can't read my own writing. Wyzetta.
Edina.
Oh, wow.
No, vanilled.
Yes. Oh, wow. Too bad, vanilled. Here we go. 6A, Apollo.
Apollo.
Yeah, Apollo.
7AA, East.
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 Nice. Whoa. Nice. 7A, Hermantown.
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 Love it. 8AA Spuds.
Oof, Bemidji.
Bemidji.
8A East Grand Forks.
Thief River.
Roll Wave Roll.
All right. All right. Okay. That was fun. All right. So let's just do a quick review here. With some any surprises? I'm going to have any surprises. You guys start with your surprises with mine, and then we'll go right around home. My surprises to you, I had Lakeville North, Northfield. I'll just read them nice and slow. Okay. Lakeville North.
Okay.
Yeah. Northfield. Holy Family.
They need to win big games and sections for me to like.
I'm doing it based on today, and I just love that Wright County schedule. All right, Breck, nothing there. How about you guys both picked? I picked STA. Why?
Here's why. Is STA does not play physical teams well in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Egan a couple of years ago with Nick Wolf and Jack Jensen and Tommy Muck, we lose to that in good goaltending, and they have solid goaltending. I just don't see the Cadets in a selfish play, small, undersized, speedy team winning this game.
Yeah. All right. Laverne, no discussion there.
No.
Litchfield. You picked Litchfield. That was for comedy purposes, correct?
No, it wasn't. I picked Laverne to lose their section last year, and I won $5 on it.
You going Vegas money and going Litchfield?
I'll go Litchfield. Litchfield's going to make it back to the tournament first time since 2008.
Take that $5. I want that done. Same $5.
Done.
Okay?
Done.
All right.
If you look at the computer ranking, they're right next to each other.
Yeah. And the other thing is Laverne never plays their section well, okay?
I know. They haven't played really anyone well this year. I mean, they've not played well.
Redwood Valley, Tony.
I know. Okay. All right. So next one. So Laverne, let's move on. Stillwater. One of you goobs picked Hill Murray.
Here's why.
Oh, jeez.
History.
I can't wait to hear this.
History tells me to not pick Stillwater because either White Bear or Hill has come out of this section 32 out of 34 years. Some crazy stat like that. And Lechner is the better coach in this section.
There hasn't been another good team in this section over that time.
Yeah, there has.
One now.
North St. Paul had two Mr. Hockey finalists in 2006 or 2004, one of those years. And so there's also been talent in this section, not as great as – and Johnson used to be placed in this section.
So you're saying Matt Dolman's not a good coach?
I'm saying that Lechner is better.
Okay. Matt is a good coach?
Yes.
And has better talent. So yep.
There you go.
It's not even this is a non-discussion. They just
at
blew them out.
Home ice.
They just
home.
It doesn't matter. They just blew them out.
On home ice.
You told me to pick one. I pick Hill.
Okay.
And they did it last
year. I can't even
believe
we're having a heated discussion about this.
Yeah.
Moving on.
After last week. Yeah.
All right. Do we need to go back to the text message I got from a Hill Murray fan?
Oh,
we lost 5-2, and it wasn't that close.
It will be the same two teams.
All right.
It will be next time.
Yeah, it'll be that close, and it'll be 5-2 again.
All right. Yeah. All right. Matamidi. I took Matamidi, and you guys both. What did you see out of SPA in the last 10 days that says it differently?
I don't think Matamidi is going to come out of this one. I think SPA is
That wasn't a question. You already told me that in the pick.
I think SPA is going to break through on this game.
I hope they do. And I really do. Yeah.
But I think they have that more of a talent level, and I think they'll get hungry in section time.
I pick SPA at the start of the season to break through in this section, so I'll stick with them. And also, I need a private school since I had Delano upsetting Breck.
I picked Montemita. I saw them play this year over at Drake. I just think they have three lines. They're more physical. I don't mean like cheap physical. They're just physically stronger.
They always are.
Than SPA, and I'm going to pick them, and Matt Funk's going to smack me upside the head next time I see him.
No.
Just fine. I can take it.
Funk's a St. Thomas guy.
Yep.
There we go. There's one plug. And
and a Notre Dame guy, by the way.
St. Thomas plugs if you have the show.
Too many.
I know.
And so here's the other thing. This was St. Thomas's session. Flashy teams come out of this section. Totino comes out of this section. And when Matamidi came out.
They will not this year, I promise you that.
Well, I know that. But when Matamidi came out, they had the flashiest player in Ben Marshall. So it's a flashy team section that comes out of this.
Oh, they definitely have flash. There's no doubt about that. All right. 5AA. I took Blaine. What would you guys have?
Yeah, no.
Also, we had a unison on that
one.
I think
it'll be close. But I think Blaine has too much talent and the best Mr. Hockey winner.
All right. So Princeton and 5A, we agreed on that one.
Yes.
Careful, Princeton, Chisago is coming. 6AA, I took Wayzata just because I think they're right now, after watching them last night and the last week, the best thing that could happen to Manila is to lose at some point. They need to lose between now and the sections, or I think that's just too much pressure.
Yeah.
And these guys, Wayzata has nothing to lose.
No.
Absolutely nothing to lose. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Who'd you guys take? I can't remember.
I took Wayzata too.
Yeah, okay. And you took Edina.
Yeah, so no love for Benilde.
You don't root against Nick Saban in the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. You just called Kirk Giles Nick Saban.
It's the same sort of scenario. You just don't root against Alabama.
You don't root against them or pick against them? Because you definitely got to root against them, all right?
That's the difference. I think you don't... Giles has made it to the playoffs every year since 2007, right?
That's because they had Jefferson and Burnsville to get through. I mean, no offense to Jefferson and Burnsville, but it's not been a very tough run. This is their first time where they've actually had to battle to get to state.
I still think that they are favored just because they have...
I was wondering why you wore Kelly Green into the studio.
Yeah.
Now it's all coming through.
True party colors are coming out.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
I just think that, you have players that know what it's like to play in, power pack situations and don't lose in the playoffs throughout their career.
They only have like one or two of those guys on this team.
Well, I mean,
Casey Dornbach?
And Giles is the best coach
in
the
second.
The best coach in the
section. Who else returns from that team? No, none of these guys played on that team 2 years ago except Casey Dornbach.
Yeah, but you also have
Sammy Walker. He wasn't there two years ago. He was playing Bantams 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, I picked them. I
want you to take your pick back.
I'm not taking my pick back. I like them.
All right. None of us have – what a great show we have. None of us have picked the number one team in the state to go to state.
Yeah.
Well – I'm not going to another Benilde game the rest of the year.
Probably.
No. All right, we had unison on Apollo.
Yep.
Who could beat Apollo? Could Little Falls?
Little Falls, they
could. A Cathedral? I think either of those teams could do that. Apollo was on the ropes in Little Falls this week.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that one on the radio, and they scored a Reeland score with like a minute 40 to go, and then they beat him in overtime.
Cathedral is missing a person or two when Apollo beat them earlier in the year too. So
I would say that Little Falls has a better chance because Apollo's not going to lose to Cathedral. Like they have too much pride in themselves to lose to a Cathedral.
I agree. I think that Little Falls is dangerous. I really do.
No, and I agree with that. Those kids grew up with Hanowski, so they know they want to go to state.
Yep. All right. So 7AA. I went East. This was the comedy, right?
Yeah.
East?
Yep.
East, right? Yep.
Randolph.
Yeah, it's hard. It and like. I feel bad for our listeners from Grand Rapids, but I just don't see it happening.
I've listened to so many KOZY semifinal games. And we'll listen to them like squeaking by Forest Lake in the quarters to know that East is probably going to come out of this one.
All right, Hermantown. I don't see Hibbing after what I saw this week. I don't see Hibbing having enough.
Not enough forward talent.
You know, I was just when I was doing my pre-research, they have not, Hermantown and Hibbing have not played. They play at the end of the season,
next week.
The last game of the year. That's a weird time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to play again like 10 days later.
Don't play section games in the last week. Don't schedule those.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And Benilde did that with Wayzata, too, which we talked about.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Really weird.
Really weird.
All right. I picked, moving to AAA, I picked the Spuds. I don't know why. I think that they have more moxie. I think they have a chance to be really good.
Yeah, because history and tradition, I guess, mean something to you.
Yeah.
Like me.
I'm not wearing black and red, black and orange right now.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'd say the pressure's on Bemidji to do it this year, whereas the Spuds are sort of coming in, you know, what they have to lose.
Yeah.
I get that pick. Yeah.
They beat them. I think it can happen again.
I think Bemidji proved that they can break out of this section because they were the first team to do so since 97 in Alexandria. I think they can do it again this year.
All right. And then our last one, I went with East Grand Forks. I'm just kind of going wild card. Yeah. Lovin's going to come back in. And
Tweeden. I mean, this is a team that's won state in the last 2 years. I don't see why. They know what it takes to get there. So
yeah, I don't know. You picked them. You picked.
I was the one who
You put Thief River, right?
No, honestly, I was going to pick whoever you didn't. So
Right. It's kind of a flip of a coin. I picked them just as a fun pick.
And normally that's a very good section final.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move it on to games that are happening this week. It's Hockey Day this week, which we'll talk about in 2 seconds. But let's start off with kind of do some rapid fire before we get into Hockey Day and our pick-ems. Hermantown-Farmington. Hermantown comes down to the cities. I think I see Hermantown winning this game and kind of controlling most of the play. But the way Farmington's been playing close games against their section opponents at a la North, not South, I think this game could be close.
Yeah.
The reason this isn't on our pick'em docket is because all three of us thought that Hermantown was going to win. Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the case still.
Yeah, it's like a trustworthiness, you know. Like Farmington has proven they're not trustworthy. Hermantown has played double-A teams all year long and won most.
Okay.
So I'm going with them.
Trustworthy for different reasons on Saturdays in March. But
yeah.
And I think
oh, my gosh. See? Well, it's right when I think you're a nice guy, Carl, then you need to go digging on Hermantown. What did Hermantown ever do to you? I mean, you won't even play him, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well,
Bruce calls Mike every year. Can you play me?
Not until you play double A.
Wine.
Not until you play double A.
Okay, let's move over to Section 7A. This could decide the second and third place seating for this section in Greenway at Hibbing, but I think we all have Hibbing winning this one, but yeah. Greenway kept it close last time.
Yeah, on home ice, I love
mausoleum.
Greenway, the snake pit, actually.
Well, no, this is at
absolutely, it's at the Memorial Building. I no doubt, I think Hibbing's got the team.
Yeah, I think goaltending and Perunovic stand out in this one and go on.
Interesting note, I talked to the Cedar Rapids scout
USHL.
Assistant coach, from the USHL, asking about the likelihood of Scott coming. Perunovic coming there for a senior year. And you know what his response was? He goes, I haven't talked to him. I don't plan on talking to him after senior year. I go, what are your expectations? I go, we don't have any expectations. Whatever Scott wants to do, we want to do it. So I wouldn't say it's an automatic lock for him to go there, which then opens up a really fun discussion for next year. If Scott stays with that junior class that they have,
they're
almost all their best players are juniors, and they got Ewan back at D.
Yeah.
That's a really good team next year that Hermantown doesn't have their automatic bid to the state tournament.
Yeah, we'll see if Hermantown players come back too.
Well, that's Hermantown had an automatic bid because they were in the wrong section for about too many years.
They were in five.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And anyways, moving on to a team game that we kind of prepped already, South versus North, the Lakeville battle. North in this one. I don't think the South win over Farmington means much. I think North has too much talent. Although they could overlook it. Looking forward to hockey day.
They're not overlooking anything. They're playing North. I mean, these kids, South, half of these kids from North grew up playing for South as youth, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys, there's a lot of inbred battle, right? On top of the fact that they know South can't stand them, they're not overlooking any game. This is the biggest game of the year. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, when we were actually months or so ago, when North played Rapids and Ennebeck got hurt? I talked to his dad, Jake, down at the Christmas tournament. He goes, no way was Henry going to miss that game against South. So that's just one little anecdote as to they're not overlooking. This is a huge game. It's a really big game.
Okay, talk about the two struggling teams in the Lake Conference, Eden Prairie and Minnetonka, at Pagel, Minnetonka's rink.
This is the Class 2A title game. This is the game that everybody's waiting to see. Whoever loses this game gets this 3 seed. If EP wins it, they get the 1 seed, right?
Yeah, I see EP winning it. They have more talent on forward to win this game. That's what I see.
They just lost to them like a couple Saturdays ago, right?
I still pick them.
Why not? Yeah. Until EP shows they've got it together again.
I'm thinking Tonka's got their act together right now. I would lean towards Tonka. It's not a pick'em game, but I would lean towards Tonka.
I lean towards Eden Prairie. They got to snap out, and I think this is a game that they can do so, because it means more than the Wyzetta game.
It means a lot now. Yeah. The Wyzetta game really meant absolutely nothing.
No, that's a pride Lake Conference game. Seriously. Yep. Okay, we'll talk about Eveleth Denfeld quickly when we do the pick'ems, when we address hockey day. I mean, Denfeld probably in this one.
Yeah.
Eveleth.
The Golden Bears haven't been good for a while.
Since 1960.
They've got 5 or 6 wins. I looked them up today just so that in case I need to say anything about them. But
I really appreciate you looking them up.
Because nobody else did.
Scoring. I did notice
that Cloquet hasn't won in a long time. So that's in my research today.
Okay, let's go on. Last game because Hill and St. Thomas, I don't want to talk about.
Another game that means absolutely
nothing right now.
That has no bearing on anything.
No, it's done right now.
Other than a little bit of Catholic school.
And
these kids grew up going to Catholic school against each other. As kids, that's about the only real rivalry.
That is a pretty good rivalry.
Well, the school-wise, but I'm saying when it's the kids, the actual kids, it means a lot when they've played against each other growing up or went to school together.
Yeah.
But, you know, history-wise, school-wise, there's some history here.
Okay, anyways, moving on. Benilde, Eden Prairie on Saturday. Night game at Eden Prairie. I think we all pick Benilde in this one, right?
That's why absolutely. This could be the game. This could be the game that, you know, catapults EP. It could be the loss that Ken Pauley's looking for.
Yeah.
Because if he does get that loss, then he's got something to bark about and they're actually going to listen to him.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like right now. It seems like, hey, I got this really good team. I got 2 great lines. If we can't get beat, I got great defense.
Yeah.
Got 3 great defensemen. I mean, and a great goalie. I mean, that's really hard to beat Benilde.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't pick any of us picked them to go to state.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll address that fact when we're talking about them in March. Mm-hmm. So, I think this should be a good game. But
great game.
As the first one was. So let's move on to our pick'ems. Let's recap our pick'ems. I think I'm winning with 25. Tony, you're tied with me at 25. And Carl's
way behind.
This week I kept my own stats. I don't have to trust you anymore.
So I think
you want to read these real ones here, Danny?
The All-State standings don't have you in it right now.
Yeah.
I don't see your name here, Carl.
Yeah, so I think
I believe we did all go 2-1 last week.
We pushed. Yep. So it's 9 for Carl, 5 for Tony and I. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and then let's see, just to recap them. Carl had Apollo, Tony had Apollo, and Danny had Hibbing. Tonka, Benilde, Carl had Tonka, and Benilde. Danny and I both had Benilde. And then in the East, Elk River, I begrudgingly took Elk River.
Don't
and
you guys your
took Duluth
this,
East. Yeah. Hey, I picked it right on my video cast, okay? 10 minutes with Tony, I got it right.
Okay.
Someone pointed that out from Elk River, by the way. He says, I see how you picked us to lose in one and win in the other. You got that right. At least you got the game right. I go, hey, not if it's a tie.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. First game is Edina Wyzetta. I have Edina in this game for the same reasons that I mentioned, picking them to win their section. I think they're a team on the rise right now, and I think that with Phillips back there on forward with Dornbach, this is a different team, and I like them.
They're on the rise. But
was it their win over Hopkins that put you over the top?
Or Holy Angels.
The Midal Royal? Okay. The AHA is a very proud program. And no, I like them right now. I'm picking
okay.
them.
All right. We both have Wyzetta.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, I like Edina now, but I like Wyzetta more.
Yeah, and Wyzetta definitely has their number. Yeah, so
beaten Edina twice already.
Yeah. Yeah, which they don't normally have in a season. So yep. I think this will be a good game. I think Carl and I are planning on probably attending this one.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk hockey day. Outdoors, two outdoor games that we want to pick. One that will be on TV, Lakeville North, Duluth East. First off, Carl, give us a little background on where this is getting played, because as a Duluth person, you know a little bit about
this. Sure. So this game is in Bayfront Park, which is, if you're coming into Duluth on I-35, it is right to the right of downtown, so right next to the deck in Amsoil Arena. So,
right at Canal Park there?
Yep. Yeah, just a little ways away from it, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit further walk from Canal Park, but you can still easily walk there to the restaurants between games or something. Yeah, so great location. You'll have the lift bridge right there in the background framing everything. It's a big park. They're expecting 3,000 or 4,000 people, so they'll have plenty of seats ready to go.
Well, minus Tony.
Yeah. I think they should have played it at Glen Avon myself.
That would have been a lot of fun, too.
But
you've got the setting. It's right on the harbor front, so it'll be just great scene. Yeah.
Okay. I think the scene favors the Hounds, and I'm picking the Hounds in this one. I think the Hounds are going to play well in front of the hometown crowd, and they're really deep right now, the way that they're playing.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get my memories of East last hockey day out of my mind, so I'm just hoping they'll be Persh and they'll take East. Yeah.
Well, that was a bad hockey day for everybody. Yeah. Because it had to be played inside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was not ideal.
Yeah. I'm going to take Lakeville North here. Again, this is one of my begrudging picks. I don't ever get to pick my boys East, but I'll pick against East again and see if I can roll the dice on Lakeville North.
Okay. I think this should be a fun atmosphere, all around a good time. Hockey day is a lot of fun.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be 70 degrees and sunny where I'm watching it.
Well, fluorescent sunny.
Yeah.
Okay, another outdoor game happening up north. Holy Family's traveling up to Grand Rapids. This should be a fun game. Both teams, a couple question marks. Holy Family, you know, with strength of schedule-wise, and Rapids, their goals against us. Just mind-boggling. It just keeps going up. So I'm picking Rapids in this game. It's outdoors in Rapids. Favors the hometown. Favors the team that plays outdoor more. I'm picking Rapids.
I'm gonna switch gears here. I'm gonna take Holy Family.
Oh, he's changing his picks on us.
I changed his picks.
Oh wow!
I'm changing the picks. I'm going Holy Family. You know what? The reason is I picked Holy Family to go to state. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. So in order for them to go to state, they're going to get the number one seed in that section.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here we go. So I'm going to go Holy Family. I'm going full on Forest Green.
The more skilled team normally doesn't win outdoor games. As in...
So Rapids is going to lose.
Well, okay. No. Garen and them play a more Metro-style play that favors than Rapids.
Really? I just think that Holy Family is a better hockey team as a whole than Grand Rapids. So no matter where they play.
Okay. Carl?
I'm taking Holy Family too. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that kind of wraps it up with our pick-ems. Either I'm going to be well ahead coming next week or well behind. So.
Well, you've been used to being behind, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So this has been Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. For me, I'm Danny Ryan. I'm at COHS Hockey Pod. Carl, you are at Carl East Hockey.
Yep.
And Tony, you're at Youth Hockey Hub for Twitter purposes. Thank you for listening.
Hey. Hey guys, this is Tom Schreier, co-founder of ColdOmaha.com. Thank you for listening to the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave us a comment and a rating. Also, don't forget to check out ColdOmaha.com to see all of our podcasts and read articles about your favorite teams in the Twin Cities. If you have any suggestions or comments on anything related to Cold Omaha, email us at editors@ColdOmaha.com or follow us on Twitter @ColdOmahaMN.